Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of the MM Podcast, coming to you from Fort Podcast One, high above downtown Buffalo, where we actually have a summer. I think summer has officially started. And I'm excited because my guest today is a former colleague and a woman, Amy Moritz.
Hey, J-Pom. It's good to be with you.
Yes. J-Pom is my nickname because of my first three letters of my last name.
Because no one can say your name, so we just go J-Pom.
Right. And that's what we that's my nickname here at the Buffalo News. But no, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I know. You're only your second ever podcast. That's hard to believe.
I know.
Everyone has, podcasts are so, they're not quite ubiquitous yet. I know they're hard to find. A lot of people don't have one.
I listen to a ton of them. I just have never am on them.
Have you listened to mine?
No. Ah. I listened to the first 10 seconds of, I think, your last one.
Just to get a feel for it.
Just to get a feel for it.
You got it after 10 seconds.
And then, something else came up and I lost track. Yeah.
Well, first of all, like I say to all my women guests, thanks for taking time out for smashing the patriarchy to be here. You're doing a good job. Pebble by pebble, that wall is going to come down, like Ronnie Reagan said.
Instead
of Gorbachev, he's going to be like, guys,
well, and who better to talk about smashing the patriarchy than Ronald Reagan analogy? That's perfect right there.
Exactly. He did a lot for women, right? I don't really remember Ronald Reagan. I just know that we're in the weirdest times ever with our current president. And he's not doing a lot for women, right?
Well, no. There are things that I wouldn't say, in mixed company that he said apparently to the entire, nation and was pretty proud of it. But I don't even, I don't remember Ronald Reagan. I was young when he was president.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
I remember I was scared of the Russians. He had me terrified of the Soviet Union. I don't know why, but I was. And ketchup was a vegetable. That's all I remember. And just say no from Nancy. That's
right.
All, yeah.
That's enough to give anxiety to anybody. Here's what they should say about drugs. I was just thinking about this, funny, as I was walking in, I'm like, as an anxiety-filled man, above average. I feel like anxiety has really hit the mainstream, right? But everyone has it. Mm-hmm. Especially smart people, so you and I. Have it, and dumb people just move on there. What's this feeling in my head? I don't know. I'm gonna go eat a pear or something, and then I'm gonna move on with my day. But they should just be honest. If they just said drugs are gonna be great, you might have a few bad experiences. Unfortunately, don't get hooked. You might lose some friends to drugs, but it will still be some of the best times. Some of your best stories. You can laugh on mic. It's fine. You don't have to be silenced. Don't hold back. No, but some of your best stories will be with drugs. Not just say no, you know what I mean? But say drugs can lead to bad things, as all things can. Too much food, too much sex, too much whatever, too much work, all bad. Too much drugs, bad. But you hit that right amount, man. Woo! You're doing something right.
It could be perfect,
Could be perfect. If you hit that right buzz all day, man, boom.
That's true. Well, my drug of choice is caffeine. I'm all about the coffee.
It's so boring. That's not a good
I know,
story.
It's not a good story at all. Although the story about how I started drinking coffee, I never drank coffee in high school or college, and my parents are coffee fiends, never drank it. And then I was out of school. My college friends came to visit me. It was my first job I ever had. I was living in a studio apartment in Rochester, in a
rough,
not great section of the city of Rochester. And it was our friend's... she was getting married, and it was her bridal shower. And we all went out and pretty much got drunk off of our butts. And the next day, we had to go out. And people were, sneaking out of my apartment. I'm like, this is not the place to be sneaking out of. I don't know what was going on. There was, chaos among my friends. And the next morning, we were at the bridal shower, and someone goes, do you want coffee? And all of a sudden, I thought it sounded like the greatest thing on the planet, and it was going to cure all of my ills, all of the lack of sleep and the hangover and everything. And so I haven't stopped drinking since that moment.
That was the day. I do know some, one of our other former colleagues here at the News, who's now somehow leapfrogged us all and became executive editor of the sport. He doesn't drink any coffee, Corey.
He doesn't.
No, he doesn't. I find that super weird. It is kind of like an acquired taste. When you first start drinking it, it's kind of like scotch, I feel like, because especially if you're Well, I started really young. My mom finally let me drink coffee like when I was 12, and then I could go watch like wrestling, so I get some coffee. But I just put so much sugar in it, it didn't even qualify as coffee. But it was like a like I was just building up the taste, like drinking like scotch isn't great either, until you like. I don't know what the hell single malt or double. I don't know if you're a Scotch.
I'm not a Scotch drinker. I don't know. I have no idea what the difference is.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, well, one's hangs out in a barrel longer or something. But yeah, it sucks. I mean, unless you, I don't think anybody likes it. It just makes you look cool. I don't know. Makes you sound sophisticated, right? Can I have a single malt? And now, but coffee does taste good because you got all like Starbucks.
Well, you know, you put like cream. I mean, it's amazing how like Starbucks has taught us how much, you know, fat and calories you can cram into an otherwise innocuous beverage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with their unicorn, that Starbucks. What was that? The unicorn?
I don't know, I never had the unicorn. Oh. But, you know, just like, you know.
Well, yeah, if your coffee's pink, don't drink it.
There's something wrong. If your coffee is pink, that's just not. There's something wrong with your coffee, I think.
Well, how much coffee, how many cups a day do you drink?
I'm down to probably like half a pot to a pot a day.
Woo! What do you mean down? Did you?
I would be like at two pots a day.
Now
like,
that's a lot. Yeah. That's excessive.
That's a lot. That's excessive. Coffee consumption.
Is that because you're like you just feel like you need to be jazzed? I mean, how did you get up to two pots? Just one of those organic things? Like
it was just, or I just kept like it was just, you know. And when I was in my 19 some years as a sports writer, you know, it was crazy stupid hours. So you would be.
I mean, that's. Double A, you know, Alcoholic Anonymous.
That is,
coffee.
I could be like, I could definitely go to a 12-step program for that coffee consumption, and then I was just too wired, and I didn't feel good drinking all that coffee, so I bumped it down. If I had to go cold turkey off of it, I don't know what would happen. It could be bad.
Oh, so I mean, like a doctor didn't say, like no health professional said, you did it kind of on your own.
I did it on my own. No health professional advised me to go lower. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah, but don't you feel like and a diminishing effect, right? Like after a while, it doesn't even affect. Like your system does get used to it. Especially it depends on your genes and like where you're from.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, I must come from some sort of coffee, caffeine genes because my parents would drink full-leaded coffee and go to bed at night. Like, they just drank it all day long, and it had no effect on them. Although they now have high blood pressure, so I'm going to guess that they probably maybe have a cumulative effect. I don't know. I'm not a health professional. I just play one on your podcast, but... there was a diminishing effect. You can only drink so much before it just is not going to work for you anymore.
Right. Well, I mean, you got to find that like your heart rate will increase, but you're not any more alert. You're just alert that your heart is racing.
you're aware that your heart is racing. Well, yes.
And I do have people, you know, I know, or like my mother's like, I can't have coffee after 7 or I'll be, I'm just like, oh Jesus, 7 o'clock. I mean. You can have a cup of coffee, and then caffeine's one of those things like eggs. It's constantly like, well, some is good, all is. And it used to be like, it's like, all right, who's getting the money on the from the coffee people? You know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah.
Because no, I think the last study is like some caffeine good, obviously, because it's a drug, and it's the only drug that is encouraged for you to drink, like or to intake by yourself in a car in the dark. You know, you don't have to be like, I only do it socially. No, you do it anywhere you want. And cracked ends and, you know, whatever.
Wherever you want to have your coffee. It is socially acceptable to have that anywhere.
But you're still doing a pot.
I'm still doing pot.
That's a lot. I feel like if I have two cups, I'm good. Like, especially coming in, well, I mean, we did work. We'll talk about you're in your third career in the last 6 months.
Career in the last 6 months, yeah.
But you used to, your first one that I know of, your first real one, right, was sports
yes.
writer.
We won't count, you know, when I was concession stand girl in high school.
Oh, no, those are just, I don't know what those are.
Jobs.
Yeah. So your first one was at the Buffalo News, sports writer, which mm-hmm. you did for?
I was here for 19 years.
Wow. That's a long time. That's pretty good tenure, though. So, and it was always, but was it always like from 5 to 12, 5 in the evening to 12 at night?
I mean, it was whenever. Like, when I first started, like back when, you know, we just got indoor plumbing at the Buffalo News, it feels like that long ago, we still had an afternoon edition. So we had a morning edition and an afternoon edition. So you actually had a reporter, we call it a rewrite shift, where a reporter is like on duty on the desk. We had that in the mornings. We had that from... like 7 or 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. when the final afternoon edition came out. So you could work at night and then have to come in the morning. And then even later on, you could cover, you know, I cover a Sabres game and it could go into overtime and be late. And I'm there till 1 a.m. And then, oh, they changed practice and it's now at 9:30. And so it's, you know, it would be crazy and constantly changing. And you really never knew what was, you knew kind of what your schedule was going to be, but you're also at the mercy of the professional or the college team that you're covering as to what they decide their schedule is going to be that day, and they could change it at the last minute too.
Right.
Hence the addiction to coffee.
Well, yeah, as you're sitting there, like, well, you, when you do think of old school journalists, you think of like either coffee and like sitting there in a fedora. Well, I guess the old's still like a picture of a man, but a woman can wear, there's woman fedoras, right?
There are women. I think His Girl Friday wore a fedora, I think.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, like typing away, like that's what the newsroom actually did look like in the 70s when our other colleague, Milt, who'd already only been here for 40 years in the 70s, bless his 85-year-old heart. No, but yeah, like it was filled with smoke and you're just drinking coffee and like people were literally, there was no computer, so like the copy boy actually literally was a boy, usually like young, because he had to run. He's like, as soon as you like ripped out of your typewriter, you gave it to him and he ran to the movable print press and the dude had to like start
the
setting
it. The dude set it,
yeah. Because it took so long. And now, since I've only been at the new, well, 10 years, which seems like forever.
Hey, but that's a decade. Congratulations there.
But I mean, everything's been digital and but I've always been like sports. Well, I think I've only been in sports for 8 though. So I think, and then that was always been, we've only had the night edition, so it's gone from 5 to about midnight.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad.
There used to be a 6 to 2, 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. shift.
I could deal with that, though. You get it done, like you're done during the
day.
That's
true. That's also when you would then, you would be, I closed a lot of bars in my time on Saturday nights because I would work Saturday shifts and I'd work 6 to 2 and then, you know, 6 to 2 or 5 to 1, and then you would go out to the bar and then you wait for everyone else from the newsroom to come out to the bar, and by the time they got there, you were there for an hour and a half before they're closing up. So that's where the 4 a.m. closing time in Erie County is helpful.
I think it's great. It is actually one of the selling points of anybody under, like, I think from 20 to 35 says anyway about Buffalo. Bars open to 4, bro.
Exactly. Oh, yes.
Because sometimes you do go someplace where the bars open till 2, and it does seem, like, restrictive. Because it's like, oh, it's already 12 o'clock. So you're already, like, because sometimes the bartenders make last call at 1, you know, and when they turn on those harsh, bright lights at 1:30, and you realize everyone you're talking to is a gargoyle.
Exactly, yes.
You need to go home.
Last call always interests me as to how different places handle it, right? Because some places do last call and they give you time to drink your drink. I was in Minnesota, I think it was Minneapolis, and it was like, oh, last call. And so I got another beer and they closed at like 12 or something like that. And it was like, once it was like hit 12, it was like, okay, you're done. Like, leave. I'm like, you just poured me this beer. Like, how can you say last call and not let me finish the beer? Yeah, well, we're closing, we're done.
That's not good.
I thought that was poor form.
Especially, well, yeah, you should have told it. Well, I'm sure you did. But yeah, being from Buffalo, we don't understand. Because last call does mean you still have to finish all your beers. Usually they do it well before. I mean, and granted, people from outside of Buffalo. Oh, I have listeners in Brussels.
Oh, hello, Brussels.
Sometimes, all bars don't stay up until 4, you know, because we always get some dipshit politician who's like, oh, we're going to eliminate drunk driving and make bars close. But it's like, it's based on business. It's like free market. Let the bar close when it needs to close, man. You know what I mean? Like, all bars don't stay open till 4.
No, so all bars don't stay open till 4. And not everyone who's out till 4 is necessarily intoxicated. Yeah. And I think most people, well, not most people, I would say that you're just as apt to have someone, if you're going to drive drunk, be doing it at 2 in the afternoon. Or at least around some parts of Buffalo.
Well, it's
as
poor
you
judgment.
Are, it's just poor judgment.
You make these people make poor judgments in their life across the board. It doesn't matter what fucking time it is. So yeah, it's and plus thanks to Uber, I think drunk driving is down. I mean, random rape and murder is probably up by Uber drivers, but
well, let me tell you, like 2020, like I kind of have a little addiction to 2020. I really like 2020. And I love the true crime stuff. And
because you're a woman. That's why.
That's why. I don't know. I'm fascinated by that stuff.
But why?
I have no idea.
Is it just, it must be the X chromosome?
It must be.
That one little stick.
But then all of a sudden I was on a trip for my third career job here, and I was like, I'm not taking an Uber from the airport. I'm going to take the Super Shuttle. Like, I'm not getting in, you know, it just was like by myself, like that little, because I just watched 2020.
Right, Uber, where it was a random.
There was a random.
So have you, so that really does, like, as a woman, you don't want to take Uber, like when you're by yourself. Does that influence
you? Nah, it does sometimes. Like, it, usually it doesn't. I like to think I have a pretty good Spidey sense. So if I'm like, danger, Will Robinson, danger, this is not a good situation, I kind of will know that. But you could have the best Spidey sense in the world. And, you know, I've also watched a ton of Law and Order, so I know that there's all kinds.
Remember, though, actually, most women do get killed by people they know.
This is true. Yes.
In relationship, they get to know, and then they want to, whatever reason, they want to kill you. So, no, and in deference to Uber, I think it is actually fake Uber. Like, the actual drivers from Uber are good.
Oh,
for
no,
the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't go around killing people. It's the, somehow, I don't know, when you just get into a car by accident, I guess, or whatever.
Or something, yeah. Yeah. No, and I yeah. No disrespect at all to the Uber company or what they, yeah.
But, I mean, you still have a fear of being, I don't know, like, as a woman, right, like, in a confined space with a weirdo in
with
case
you,
he takes,
yeah, who,
like,
you don't know who it is. You got to just have your antenna
driving,
up.
He's driving. He's in, like, he is in control.
He's literally in control, yeah.
He could, like, for whatever reason, I don't know, like, psychopaths do snap. Like, they lead normal lives. Like, that's the 22, right?
That's a, that's,
you would never know. You're like the poor people that actually married a psychopath, and it did, like, Scott, what's his name? Not Scott Baio. He's
a psychopath for another reason. Scott Peterson.
Scott Peterson, yeah, like that guy. Obviously, how could you kill your wife that's pregnant? But like, he's so shit, like, total psychopath. But it didn't come out until whatever makes these people snap. I have no idea.
I don't know.
But that is scary, though. I mean, and women are psychopaths as well.
That's equal opportunity.
They do murder their husband.
Yes,
but I feel like they do. It takes a lot more, and they do it slowly, like with poison in their dinner, as opposed to chopping you up and putting you in the harbor. But I don't know which way. There's probably no good way to go.
I don't think there's a good way to go in that scenario.
I mean, if you're going to get murdered by someone that you trust, it's not a good way. So let's talk about being in the sports. How was it? Were you the only female writer 19 years ago here at the news?
It was myself and Mary Jo Monin, who was a high school writer. Covered high schools.
We remember Mary Jo.
We love Mary Jo.
Western New York legend. Is she in the Greater Buffalo Hall? She might be in a couple Hall. I know she's in the Lancaster Softball
Hall
of
definitely,
Fame. Or
she's definitely in a Lancaster Hall of Fame, at least
she's
one of
them. She's definitely in the Inscrutable Hall of Fame.
I never saw anyone read the Agate page more thoroughly to look for errors and try to get scores in than Mary Jo.
She did care about her job.
She definitely cared about her job. So it was her and myself, and then Lisa Wilson wasn't a writer. She was, at that time, she was the Sunday sports editor, so like the Saturday night sports editor. And that was it. It was the three of us, and then there were a couple of clerks who were women. So the sports clerks who answer the phone. I mean, they do a ton of stuff. They're just the nameless people behind
the
job.
All the yeoman type.
Yes.
Work, heavy lifting, behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, the heavy lifting people, yeah.
Right, but in general, it was just you three.
Yes.
And of course, I mean, Lisa did go on to become sports editor. Like, was it the first black woman to head a major sports?
First black woman to head and be sports editor of a major metropolitan
newspaper in America?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which is hard to believe in 1920, well, this was 5 years ago, maybe, six.
But still, like, after the year 2000, you think that would have happened somewhere, but no.
Right, so that's record setting right there. And then she left to go to the Undefeated. Now she's actually editor of the Atlantic online publication, which has a lot of former Buffalo.
A lot of former Buffalo news writers you can find there.
Subscribing to that. Anyway, so it was you three, and then you were covering everything though back when you first started.
When I first started, yeah, I even did some Buffalo Bills when I first started, and then they quickly took me off of the Buffalo Bills. Not quite sure why. Lasted maybe a season.
They gave you a note. Who was the editor? Oh, that was the infamous Howard Smith.
The infamous Howard Smith,
who is still it's quoted from time to time in our department,
he
in
is.
The newsroom at night.
Yes. Well, he, you know, and he was an old school editor. And for as much as we will like make fun of some of the things that he had said, you know, which people I'm sure make fun of some of the things that I had said and did, like, he he was really good for the job. I actually did learn a ton from him. As you know, as being the sports editor and sort of directing all of the coverage. But he was old school. Like, it was really hard to get him to want to care about women's sports, to cover women's sports.
In his defense, they're not quite where women are today. Or, I mean, even the audience, just the audience for women's sports was probably very small compared to who was reading the paper.
It was.
The sports section.
And it was. Like, every time I would cover a college women's basketball game, I would inevitably get an email from someone saying they didn't want to read that story. Which is great, but I don't understand if there was someone holding a gun to their head making them read. I didn't know if they understood. They had the choice just to not read the story and read something else.
This is a bigger problem, obviously, in society that we just witnessed. You probably witnessed it, or you saw the story, because now people are pushing back. Brief side turn from our conversation. I do. But, yeah, like, it was Pride Parade, which is for the LGBTQ. Is there an extra letter on there?
No, I think you got them all.
Oh, their parade, because they, let's be honest, don't have a lot of representation in society still. So it's okay, guys. They want to be Pride, because here's why they need a Pride Parade, in my opinion. Not to get too political, but because, like, us people, like, normal, I ruined it already.
You ruined it.
People that are in the society norm, like, I walk down the street with a woman, I can hold her hand, and probably no one's going to run up to me and punch me in the face. But if two girls, they just don't have the same opportunity. There's a lot of danger there. So it's okay they have a parade. We don't have to have this pushback from fucking losers that want to have a straight pride parade, guys, because we have that every day.
That's
the problem.
It's like White Lives Matter. It drives me nuts.
Why are you threatened? There is no threat to you. There's no threat to us. No one's still tried. Like, yeah, sure, women are getting pride, but you know what? They're still trying to take away your rights in Alabama. No one's ever tried to take away my goddamn rights.
Well, I was, so my fiance and I were out for a walk.
You got engaged?
Yeah, I got engaged.
When did you do that?
In November.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Oh, you weren't here, though.
No, I wasn't here.
Oh, okay,
I was gone.
That's why I was like.
Yeah, that's why, yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. We were out walking, and he has a 12-year-old daughter, and so we were out for a walk in the woods, and there was something that it was a plant that had been, like, already pulled apart, and he was taking it out of the park because he wanted to see what it was. He wanted to go home and look up what it was, and we're like, you're not supposed to do that.
Is
he's
he
like,
into plants?
He's into plants. So he wants to see what kind of tree this was, plant this was. But,
right.
You know, so we're walking out. He goes, well, I can walk out. No one's going to, like, say anything. No one's going to bother me. No one cares what I do. And I'm like, that's the definition of white privilege right there. Because you can walk anywhere and no one's going to think twice about you being you walking out,
right,
as opposed to, like you're talking about, you know, LGBTQ, or if you're a person of color. Like, that's when you don't have to think about it, that's what the privilege is.
Yeah, I don't have to think about anything. I can't apologize for being a white male. That's who
Well, no, that's who you are.
I mean, I don't have to.
No, I know.
But
you
also,
don't.
You do have, I feel like, my new responsibility, because I'm not exhausted, because being a woman is probably exhausting some of the time, because you do have to, now you, like, they're trying to take away your rights in Alabama, so you got to do, like, that's exhausting. I don't know, you have to do something, right?
There's,
I don't know what you're doing.
I'm not real sure what to do, but there's something that has to be done, yeah.
I don't know, it's harder, like, whatever, you do get in a car and you wonder, like, oh, this guy might murder me. I never, like, that tires you out. Or if you're black, you're walking down the street, you're like, oh, is this someone going to shoot? Like, is this police officer going to shoot me? You know, it's extra energy that you have to exert. I have to exert no extra energy because no one's trying to take away. But I should speak up for what's right, which is obviously a straight pride parade is not
it's
right.
Not right.
It's stupid. And if you participate in that, you're stupid.
You're stupid. I'm just going to call. We're calling you out right now. You're just stupid if you do that.
Put your energies in something else, please.
There's other things you can worry about, you know.
Yeah.
Global warming, go tackle that.
And it doesn't matter if two women start kissing on your stoop, nothing is going to be taken away from you.
You don't lose anything. No one's taking away your marriage rights or your insurance or anything like that.
Anyway, I just said that's unreal to me. So, yeah, you were 19 years ago.
19
I get the
years
news.
Ago.
You're covering different sports, and even back then, people were like, who cares about Kinesia's women, right? Even
though
they're
the time.
The same side as the men.
There was a, yeah. They didn't care. So I got that a lot. And there were times when even, like, in within the department, you know, it felt like people didn't care. I'm like, it felt like my editors didn't even care. And that changed over time, right? But when I started, it was like that. And I would get, it was like you said, like, it gets tiring. It gets exhausting. Uh-huh. And I'll never forget. And I remember I had one person who was one of my first sports editors I ever worked for, not in Buffalo, someplace else. And he cautioned me about covering too much women's sports because he didn't want to see me pigeonholed. And this is a discussion that actually women...
As writing about sports?
No, as writing about women. Well, like, the woman is writing about the women's sports. It is still sports, and there was... And there still are conversations about that, like, among women sports journalists about, you know, well, you only have women covering the women, and is that good? And because women can cover men, and, you know, women can cover men, and men can cover women. The problem is that the men never cover the women. So if I didn't cover the women, then nobody was going to cover the women. And it would get exhausting and frustrating. And I remember, I can't remember the year now because it's been so long, but the very first NCAA women's hockey tournament, the NCAA did not have a championship for women's hockey. And when they finally did, I convinced Howard and the powers that be to send me to Minnesota
Which is a big deal. That's going, for people that don't know the newspaper, who just have this off from the movies where everybody, all edit, like everyone in the newspaper has their own office, which is not true. No. But that comes out of the budget. So that was an airline ticket to Minnesota from stupid Buffalo Airport, which probably cost a lot. It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. That. It was a big deal that they let me go. And, you know, I came back and I had this, like, you know, takeout spread and all these different stories. And nobody said anything to me. Like, nobody said bad job. Nobody said it wasn't worth it. But I didn't get any,
right,
you
no
know,
good job
no or... good job. You know, I'm not looking for, you know, an award and an ice cream sundae in a parade, but, like, a little, like, pat on the back, like, good job, Amy. So then one day I'm in the office. It was the day or two after that story came out, and there was a phone call for me in the office. And I always hated when people would call and ask for me in the office because nobody called and asked for me in the office. They would call my cell phone or they would email me. So if people were calling, it wasn't someone that I knew. It was just a random person calling to talk to me. So I couldn't get out of it. I took the call. But it was this woman who was saying that her daughter played high school hockey. And again, at that time, the high schools didn't have hockey for girls. They played on mixed teams, like the, you know, club teams, basically.
Right.
They had won a state title, they had won a pretty big title, and they didn't announce it. You know, they announce, like, the school announcements, and they say how the basketball team did and who had the most points, and this one, the track team, and they didn't announce that. And this girl came home, and she was so upset, and she's like, "Nobody cares, Mom. Nobody cares what I do." And then that day in the paper was my spread about women's hockey and women's college hockey, and she was able to show her daughter, "No, look, see, what you do is valuable. People care about what you do." Because then she got to see herself reflected in the coverage in the sports section. And I always remember that. That was a big moment for me as a younger reporter to know that what you do, you might not hear about it, but what you do and what you cover does make a difference to people.
Well, see, that's why you should do it. Because,
yes.
Again, another thing that we take for granted, me being white male, when you turn on TV, all you see is male sports, and, like, females, you do need to see you doing something that you love.
Yes.
And it's okay.
Yes, and it does. It matters that you see, you turn on the TV and you can see people who look like you, whether you're male, female, person of color, whatever your sexual orientation is, like, that, it matters that you, especially when you're younger, that you see that, because then you know that that's possible for you and other things are possible for you.
Right, so that's a nice moment.
That's a nice moment.
And you still remember that. And women, I mean, they're not huge yet because there's not, obviously, there's still pay disparity and audience disparity. But, I mean, women's sports have the NCAA for women. Basketball tournament still is a little bigger.
It's huge.
Oh, we actually covered the Agate in the page.
You did. You covered it?
I mean, ESPN has, yeah, we covered the Agate.
Oh, the Agate.
We wrote about it. No, we wrote little stories about it. So, I mean, that's... When did chapter 9, do you know when, the, or what is
Title
it
called? Nine.
Title 9. Title 9.
Title 9. Passed in 1972.
Oh, was that long ago?
That long ago.
Wow.
I know, we're just kind of like realizing what that means now. But no, it is. I mean, the softball was a huge, I don't remember what the rating was, but it beat out a ton of stuff. And that's, I don't know how, I just ended up missing it because it's also like rain delays and stuff always screws up. I hate outdoor sports for that reason. But, you know, my parents, and they make it as appointment watching for my parents, like that softball tournament. Like they're like, oh, softball's on. It's a college World Series in softball. It's huge and it's entertaining. And once people watch it, they get hooked and they enjoy it and they come back. I mean, the WNBA has lasted and it's been through a lot of metamorphoses, but
it needed a lot of support from the NBA.
Well, it needed to, you know, definitely at the start.
I'm happy that they didn't give up on it, is my point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they could have just said this is. Oh, and for people that don't know, Title IX is a college thing where for every, is it every two sports of, or like women's sports have to equal all men's sports?
Well, basically it's, so it's for college and high school. So
college,
basically,
oh,
any
high,
yeah, and high school. You basically have to have equitable funding and equitable opportunities for girls, women, excuse me. I'm getting choked up just talking about it. But girls and girls, women, and to compare to men and boys. So if your school is 50-50 population, male, female, then ideally you've got half of your athletic opportunities go to men and half of your athletic opportunities go to women.
Wow.
So now there's lots of different ways that you know, legally that you can make that work and things like that, but
right. Basically
it's so that it's equitable and so that you can't say that, you know, you have a 50-50 split and have 80-20 split for athletics.
Right, or just somebody who's just trying to take all the money for guys. Sports,
exactly.
Which is...
football.
Well, football. I'm just super shocked that got passed in 1972. I am shocked by that, actually, to be honest with you. But that's... And a funny side to this is, I mean, I was talking to our colleague, Colin Dabrowski.
Yes.
Who has been on the podcast.
Oh, has it? Oh, see, now I got to go back and listen to that.
Oh, you should
because
listen.
I love Colin.
He's a hoot. But what was he saying? Oh, I was like, yeah, you should listen because I was like, I'm having Amy because I'm all about... I said it half jokingly, but I said, you know, I'm all about diversity. And he's like, having a woman on your podcast, moron, is not diversity because they're 50% of the population. I was like, are you sure? I was like, I know they're 50% of the population. Are you sure? He's like, no, you have to have LBGQ.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, I've had Harold on the podcast. He's a person of color. Mm-hmm. But it is a good reminder that sometimes, yes, even me, super woke Jason's not aware of everything. So you're not really divert. You're just a woman.
I'm just a woman. That's all I am.
50. Is it actually, aren't you guys 51% of the population?
It might be. I don't know the numbers.
I think it's something weird like that. I know in China they screwed everything up by just throwing out the girls' babies. And
yeah.
Now they got a huge problem over there because there's like way too many men and are not enough
I don't
women.
Think they thought that through.
Yeah, for someone that's so good at math, they should have really done the crunch the numbers on that. Well, yeah, they were like, that was a stupid comment or whatever.
You see, when you only have the boy babies and you don't have the girl babies, then when they grow up, they can't make more babies.
But it's actually...
either gender.
Yeah, they messed up there. Oh, it's good for... I mean, I think America did take a lot. We adopted them, so that's good.
We did, yeah.
But, yeah, and now, but things are... And then, of course, skip fast forward to when Lisa became...
Yes.
First black sports editor. Things were obviously, you didn't have to fight so hard with her because she saw the value of women's sports.
She
right?
did. And, you know, one of the things that I had to, like, retrain myself is I was so used to having to, like, fight and establish my case that I'd just be like, okay, I'm tired. And then, like, Lisa would be like, well, yeah, of course, go do it. You know, like.
Right, this is so breezy.
It really was. I almost, like, forgot, like, that it could just be a normal part of what you cover.
And, of course, you saw the sports, even since I've been here in sports, like, 8 years, you saw our staff at night dwindle from, I don't know, we used to have, like, maybe even 10 people at night, dwindle to, like, I don't know,
three?
20
I don't know.
To 15 to 4 to, let's say, tonight, Sunday night, where I'll be working, when we're putting out a paper, it's going to be me, and I'm just laying out agate, basically for the page and the baseball page, and there'll be a night editor who's doing all the reading basically, and I think one rewrite person who's also reading, and then Ted. Our
and
good
then
colleague
Ted.
I'm not gonna expand on that.
You don't
so
need
that's
to.
And
no.
Then like on the other side of features or whatever the other sections, there's like four people.
Yeah, I mean, it was full. Like, the sports department would have, I mean, I could go kind of go through in my head and count, but at least 15 people. And then on a, like, Friday or Saturday night, it would be even more. And it's just gone to nothing, basically.
Okay. Sorry, moment of the podcast.
Moment of silence for all of the fact that we used to have.
Yeah, our fallen colleagues, guys.
Fallen moment colleagues. Of silence.
It's very good. All right. Well, and then you decide, and then you got in your last year here, you covered the Sabres with another grouchy old school guy that also covers the Sabres for the Buffalo News. We don't have to mention his name.
I think that everyone would know. Anyone who follows yeah. Buffalo sports knows who grouchy Sabres guy is. Yes.
And what was that like? So you got to cover like a major, and I don't know how many. There's probably actually not a lot of women covering like all in the 32 cities that have teams. Probably
there's not. I mean, there's
I don't know if you guys have a club.
There's more. We do. We have Jackets Made. No. There's probably with Buffalo not having an NBA team, I can't really compare it to the NBA. But the NHL has a number of female writers that cover it. So it wasn't always where I was the only woman in the room, but you get so used to being the only woman in the room that you often just don't even notice it anymore. So that's, you know, that would happen a lot. And I covered the Sabres full time for I think 2 or 3 years before I left.
And you still didn't get to see them be good. That's too bad. I mean, they're still about 3 years away.
So Well, it was funny that, you know, they had a hot start this year where they won like 10 in a row or something stupid like that. And then people are like, oh, see, aren't you sad that you, I go, just wait. Just wait.
Yes.
And I proved right.
Yeah, in typical Buffalo fashion, they ruined, I think they became the first team ever to take a 10-game start and not make the playoffs.
And not even make the playoffs. And people were so like, oh, well, they're at least making the playoffs. Like, they're at least a playoff. There's no way they can't make the playoffs. Wait.
Yeah. Hold my beer. Yes. Buffalo, hold my beer. Watch this. Well, yeah, that's, do you... And, oh yeah, I mean, you didn't get any weird looks. You went to the locker room, right? Afterwards,
and the way in which locker rooms are constructed now, at least especially in like the NHL, they've always had separate rooms. Like, they've got the room where they shower and they put on their clothes, and then they've got the outer locker room, which is mostly equipment, and even on the road, which are smaller locker rooms. They're not as fancy with as many different places for the guys to go. It still was, they were so in and out of there on the road that it didn't really matter. Early on in my career, I'd get some looks, but everyone just kind of accepted it. And now everyone's grown up watching women journalists, women sports writers. So they even grow up like on TV. You know, they'll see Doris Burke during an NBA game. They'll see, I can't think of anybody in the NHL, but I know that there's women on the NBC. I can't think of their names right now. But so they've seen them. If they haven't had someone covering them in high school or college before they get to the pros that's female, they've certainly grown up watching it. So it's more commonplace now. And so I think it took like a generation after Title IX for people to be like, oh, yeah, so what? Like, it's not as big a deal as it used to be.
Change does come just slowly.
Yes.
Probably a little too slow for, I mean, we could do better, but we're doing okay. I say this as a man.
I say this as a white man.
It's fine.
It's fine.
No, we all have to keep working.
Well, there's always ways in which it can be better. Is it better than it was? Absolutely. Are there ways that it could still be better? Sure. And I think that the problem like comes when people are like, well, it's better than it used to be, which is great, yes. But that doesn't mean that it's good or that you stop at that point.
Right. Yeah, it's better as in like we let you guys drive and vote.
Right, exactly.
So it's like you still have a ways to, you know, again, I think people just don't realize on a day-to-day basis it can be exhausting. When people are trying to take away your rights.
Well, you know, I can vote, but I can't control my uterus in Alabama, apparently.
Right. Or just judging you, just like if someone, I don't know, if you wanted to sit down to like or like join a hockey group, like at a bar, a bunch of dudes were talking hockey, and you walk by and you wanted to join for what, and they'd be like, you're a girl, get out of here. What do you know about hockey, you know?
Oh, and that, you know, that sort of stuff definitely still happens, you know?
Well, of course.
And it's, you know, you have, you don't know anything about like sports. I would get quizzed. I'm not a good trivia person. I don't care who won the American League batting title in 1964, so I'm not going to memorize that. My brain space is for other things.
Don Strzok. No. I have no idea. Sounded good, though.
It did. Convincing.
Test me, Google. No. Yeah, you don't. It's just you can know, like, we are getting to a place, though, I feel like, in a good place, where everything is kind of getting mixed. There's no, you can't pin, like, men love sneakers now, so we're loving shoes.
Right.
Just as much as women. I mean, normal men, again.
Normal men.
Normal. So
there was air, you know, quotes there for, because it's a podcast, so you didn't see us do that.
Yeah, I mean, everything is, and 50-year-olds are getting tattoos. Like, there's no, you can't judge a book by its cover for real anymore, because everything, and a girl might be, and like, MMA women fighting is really growing.
Yes.
So that girl that you might want to think that you're touching inappropriately, when she turns around and gives you a kick to your face, that'll be your bad.
That's your bad.
And a learning, yes, moment. A learning moment.
That would be a learning,
moment.
Teachable,
yes,
moment for you right there.
And then so, and now you left. Do you miss it?
I miss some of the people. I will say some of the people, or not all the people, but there are people that I miss.
I
miss writing.
Deadlines are always fun.
I do not miss deadlines.
You don't miss deadlines, but that's how you get things done.
It is how you get things done. I should say I don't miss a game ending at 10:02 and the office is calling and they want copy at 10:08 and I still have to get down to the locker room from like way up high. Like, I don't miss that part of the deadlines. There are things about deadlines that other people, like when you get out into the real world outside of journalism,
right,
you're like, why is no one hitting their deadlines? Like, I don't understand this. You have more than 5 minutes. I don't get it. So I do kind of miss that structure. I miss it. I miss, you know, sometimes I miss being in the know, because it's fun to know things other people don't know.
That's
it
true.
Just is. It just is fun to know that. But it's taken some time for me. Like, I've gotten my joy back for sports, because you watch it differently when you're writing about it than when you're a fan.
Well, that is the thing that I say. Like, this, being in the sports department, it does make you hurt or hate sports, because we do have a deadline, and sometimes we have a cantankerous night editor who will slam the phone when you don't have your article immediately ready.
Yes.
But, yeah, if something goes tight, like those glory days, I mean, I wasn't in the sports, but if you remember when the Sabres made the Stanley Cup, I could only imagine, you know, those triple overtime games from when was that, 98, 99, 2000?
Somewhere around there.
Whatever. See, we don't know.
See, yeah.
But no, yeah, you just want, like, if the Bisons get tied, it's like, no, just, I don't care who wins in the game.
You don't care, yes.
I need to get it in the paper 5 minutes from now, and I don't feel like sitting here and waiting.
That's exactly
it. You just want the game to be over. So, I mean, it does hurt your joy as a, like, when you're in the profession of writing, or just even waiting for a score, because, and then on top of that, now that print media is basically obsolete, because anybody that wants a score will just look it up on their phone. It's like, why am I even sitting
why
here?
Why am I here? What is my
minutes?
Purpose? Yeah.
Yes, you kind of lose your sense of, why am I doing this? And then it makes you question your life, and you just have that other cup of coffee.
That's what the other cup of
coffee
is for.
Because it's like, who's possibly waiting a whole night for tomorrow's paper in the morning to see? Nobody does that anymore.
No one does that anymore.
Nobody does that. So, but I mean, that's you got out good, because paper's dying. Although there always will be a need for writers in the digital age.
There will be, yeah. No, it's a shifting medium, and we've been saying this for a number of years now, but it's just... change happens slowly, right? So it's
right.
Very, it's glacial.
I mean,
pace.
It has been happening for a long time, and then people just don't realize it. And then when it kind of speeds up a little bit, then people are like, oh my God, people are leaving. What happened? It's like, oh, well, there's better models
right.
to get
yes.
the news out. Have you heard of the internet?
Have you heard of the internet?
Yes, it's a thing. And then you changed, and now since you, I think most millennials, me and you aren't quite, we're not the key millennials, although technically I think millennials are born in 79, but that's not the key millennial that our publisher loves so much.
No.
That do not even know what a newspaper is. You changed jobs, and then you were in fundraising, and then you already left that job.
I already left that job.
Because fundraising is, right, kind of hectic?
Fundraising is hectic. I don't hate it, but it's not, it's hectic, and it's constant. Like, it's constant depending upon what organization you're with. And they're all worthy organizations out there. There's all really good charities out there.
Legitimate
charities. But it's a small pool of people. You know, like, Buffalo's a small town. So there's only so many people that have money to give, and they get hit up by everybody, and so it can get very tiring, and
burnout
very quickly. And I missed the writing part of it, so I started to look for an opportunity where I could work with people who I really liked and thought were cool, and I could feed off their energy, and then someplace where I could do more writing. And I found that at the Stained Glass Association of America.
Wow. Is headquarters, is it just a Buffalo thing though?
No, it's a national organization.
And it's headquartered.
And the headquarters are in Buffalo.
Why did they pick Buffalo?
Buffalo is up and coming. Because the person who was given the job, or took the job, offered the job and took the job to be the executive administrator, which is basically the head office, the only office person to run the organization, was living in Buffalo.
Oh.
So they picked up the offices from someplace in Kansas, I believe, or Missouri, or some, I don't know, one of those square states over in the middle of the country.
Yeah, landlocked.
And moved it to Buffalo about a year and a half ago.
Wow.
They've grown. Their finances have grown, too, with better leadership and some better stability. So they were able to hire someone. So they hired me to work on their quarterly magazine and do their communications. So that's
fun. Oh, so now you get to do some writing and a discount on Stained Glass, I imagine.
Yes, you know, like something like that.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad that Buffalo people, see, Buffalo is on the upswing, I guess, thanks to a certain trickle-down billionaire. People are like, hey, it's a good place to have headquarters. Cheap rent still. Well, probably comparative to other places.
Well, comparative to other places, yeah.
Where is the... It's downtown?
It's actually on the east side. So, because now up and coming, you want to talk about up and coming places in Buffalo, there's actually lots of investment going in on the east side of Buffalo.
Tesla. Is it next to Tesla?
It's not next to Tesla.
Oh.
But it's not far. So, there's Good Eats nearby.
Is that considered the east side or south Buffalo?
That's South Buffalo, but this is definitely east side. It's like a couple blocks from the Broadway Market.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice. Yeah, I think the real estate was probably a little down there because of the area.
Yes.
Which is up and coming, though.
But it is. But there actually have been a bunch of grants and investment that's going into that area. So it's a good time to be in that place.
So is there some sort of magazine? So there's a magazine?
A quarterly magazine that comes out.
And you try to think of good headlines for Stained Glass?
Good headlines for Stained Glass. But very exciting, too, is that... we'll be eventually working with a local design shop to design the magazine now. So it's like this trickle effect, right? The association moves to Buffalo because the person in charge is in Buffalo. You get to hire me, so you have another full-time employee. You now employ some other local businesses to help do some of your work. So economics of the small business moving into your town does.
Oh, it's definitely good. And, I mean, I guess wouldn't people, or maybe one day they'll have the Stained Glass party here, right? Like summer.
Well, so there's a conference every year. We were hoping to have it here in 2020, but there's some other forces that happen. So it's not going to be next year, but hopefully it will be soon.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll keep us informed.
Bring the party people.
Yeah. You also, now did you write a book?
I did.
I just wrote that down. What was it called?
I should have brought a copy of it.
Yeah.
It's called I Thought You'd Be Faster.
Because it's about...
It's about running.
Oh, okay. That's good.
It's about running. I Thought You'd Be Faster, The Quest to Become an Athlete. So we've talked about like my sports writing career. I was never really an athlete growing up. I was always around sports. I was the manager. I was the manager gal for basketball. That was my gig. But I always wanted to do something athletic. I just didn't really know... All I saw around me were team sports. So you can't really just... It's hard to just, like, pick up and decide you're going to, like, play basketball or soccer one day. So eventually, it was in my 30s, I found running and triathlon, and I started doing it. And loved it. I still run. I haven't done a triathlon in a long time, but I still bike and swim. So I do all the components. I just haven't put them all together.
If you time yourself, I feel like that's halfway there. You know what I mean? Like,
I can.
And then compare yourself to, like, you don't necessarily have to join. Say, why do you have to pay $50 just to prove that you did it? You're doing it.
I'm doing it. I don't need to pay that
just
money.
Like the people
yes.
I constantly put, like, that ran the Buffalo Marathon or constantly running, putting photos of them running. Like, hey, man, I believe you. If you said I went running, I believe you.
I believe you went running.
You don't have to constantly put it on Facebook.
You don't have to always be on. Yeah.
But you weren't in this week's or this year's marathon.
I was not. I was not.
That's fine. But so you're an avid runner.
I'm an avid runner, yes.
Stay in shape. That's where all that coffee goes to.
All the caffeine goes to, yeah.
Is it online? Is your book digital? Or is it only on print?
No, there's a Kindle version.
How's it?
It's available on Amazon, and it's the number one selling book out of the trunk of my car.
did the old self-publishing thing?
I did the self-publishing route,
which you can do now, which is good. How's sales?
I mean, they're okay. I mean, I have no idea. Like, I don't look at anything on Amazon. I get a little deposit in my bank account every so often if someone buys one, and I'll go to a couple of like running clubs or things like that and do a little spiel with my book and have it there, but. The self-publishing, like for me, it was about writing the book and taking it to completion and not so much about like worrying about selling it. I mean, I wanted to sell it. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like just for the sake of doing it.
That's like a perk though. But wanted to do it to get it done.
I wanted to do it to get it done. And then, you know, I've had some really good responses from people who read it.
Do you have a copy in your car?
I don't.
Because I will read it and I will give you a review.
See,
because I've had other authors on here where I read their books.
Well, then I'll get you a copy of my book.
I will review it. And no holds barred, though.
I know, that's the thing, right? You don't know what's going to happen when you send it out into the world.
Is it just about your
It's mostly it's mostly about my journey. But then after I go through my journey, I also talk with other women athletes, and sort of looking at why. Like, a lot of people that I know will be like, well, I run, but I'm not a runner. Like, it's so hard to, like, define yourself. Like, you'll be like, oh, I'm not an athlete. You know, right. But people will run 200 races a year, which, first of all, A, why? B, how do you have the money to do that? C, why? What do you do with all those T-shirts? But there's this hesitation. And that's one of the things. I kind of explore that topic in the book is – whether it's, and I look at it through the lens of being an athlete, but it could be the same thing if you're a musician or a painter or you draw. Like, well, what does it mean? Like, what, there's no status, you know, it's not like, well, my pictures aren't hanging in museums, so I'm not really a painter. Well, that doesn't necessarily, you know, like there's,
right.
How do you you define it for yourself, what that means?
Sure, I get it. Like, as a comic, I'm not totally a professional comic, so it's like, are you a comic? I mean, I don't do it for a living or to make my living, but I mean if people ask me, I just say I'm an artist.
See, there you go.
As how I see the world, I put it into words
to hopefully make people laugh.
Hopefully sometimes. I mean people do run and then they're like, well, I'm not, yeah. I mean, we have such sometimes high standards. Like, well, if you don't run a marathon, do you count as running?
Yeah.
Or if you're running a 12-minute mile, which isn't great, you're still doing it.
Yes.
And that's, you're only competing against yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or, I mean, if that's your joy, or to get in, it's a good way. Obviously, anybody can put on a good pair of shoes, running shoes, and then go out, and it's good exercise.
So it's all about what it means for you and how you wanted to define it, and not letting other people's visions, because especially like when I started running, especially in the triathlon circles, it would be like, you know, I've done an Ironman, and people would ask me if I've done an Ironman. I'd be like, well, I've only done one. And people are like, are you crazy? What do you mean you've only done one? You've done an Ironman. Like, that's amazing. But you get around this comparison. What was the Teddy Roosevelt comparison? Is the thief of joy or something like that? Like, when you start comparing your results to other people?
Well, yes. I don't know if that's a quote, but sure. I know in art competition, there's no competition is the death of art, for sure.
Yes.
So it's probably the death of something. It'll kill your joy.
It will kill your joy.
Because,
yes.
Yeah, you cannot, like, I like to run too, but now the marathon times are unreal. Like, even a non-Kenyan just won the Buffalo Marathon. He's from here, I think. He moved to Texas. He won the Buffalo Marathon in like 2 hours. A 5-mile pace for 26. I would just get bored. I mean, I don't think I wouldn't physically be able to do it, but that is unreal.
Yeah.
Plus, he's probably really skinny, and I carry way too much muscle. But you know, it's not my thing.
See, yeah.
But I mean, I could never do that. I mean, I do respect that because that's amazing.
Yeah.
And anybody that's, you know, what the body can do, because now they do have ultra marathons, or I think Eddie Izzard, cross-dressing comedian, he ran a marathon a day for a whole month, which is just silly.
That's insane. I can't even imagine.
And he wasn't even highly
that.
Trained, you know what I mean? Just run. I mean, I don't know what his times were. They probably weren't that great, but it's like a little
more. Well, it doesn't, like, if you run 26.2 miles every single day for a month, I don't care what your time is. Like, you're what?
He probably has no nipples left, though.
No, he unless he wore a sports bra.
I would assume he wore something.
I would hope that he did something like that.
But I think he was doing it for a cause as well. I mean, he wasn't doing it just to get his name in the... I don't know if that's a record. But I know there's ultra marathons now, like where you run like three over a week or something. Something ridiculous.
There's ridiculous ones. I mean, there's ones that are like a 50K and then 50 mile and 100 mile. But then there's crazy ones too.
Just do... Yeah, and don't compare your... I mean, I would finish a marathon. I just don't know how long it would take me.
Just...
But I think do it for the joy.
It's, you know? Yeah.
And that's what you, so, and you can look for your book online. I'll put the link on this blog for
awesome.
Us. For people that want to run or amateur runners of all times. There's a lot of races around. There's a lot of good places to run in Buffalo. People don't know that.
There are a lot of good places to run in Buffalo,
a lot of good trails.
Yeah.
Do you mention that? Do you have that section of your book for that?
I don't have a section of my book
sequel.
For that. There we go. People have asked me if I'm writing a second book. There we go.
Right there. Okay. Oh, you know, I know you ran some stair. You did it last year. I didn't do it the last year, but the stair challenge.
Yes.
Are you doing it this year?
I am doing it this year for the American Lung Association. Yes.
I went to City Hall, or Buffalo City Hall, which is still the tallest municipal building in the country, I believe, at 368 feet. And I ran the stairs there twice, and I nearly died.
Well, nearly doesn't count.
Well, I'm...
Only in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Well, no, I feel good.
But there you go. See, yeah. You survived.
Yeah, yes. I don't know if it's going to take... Now, Seneca Towers, the tallest building downtown, mm-hmm. is it refurbished yet? I don't think they'll let us... Will they let us run stairs? Will they have the long
thing? They could not do it this past year because of...
No, I thought that's where it was.
Well, no, it wasn't there this... It was there 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
It was not there this year because the construction was getting in the way.
Okay.
Refurbishing whatever, like, I don't know, make the building pretty, but we can't run the stairs. I don't know.
Right.
So they're hoping to go back there next year.
But it's all going to be residential apartments, like how everything is. All these, you know, all these abandoned buildings all around the city that were all just drug deals gone bad are now all lofts that go for $1,000 a month. Well, yeah, I am looking to participate in that, though, because it's for a good cause. So mm-hmm. running stairs is also good. Maybe you should write a book about that.
I should write a book
maybe
about
a pamphlet.
Running stairs.
Or what's,
that's more of a his.
What counts as a small...
A novella.
Is it a tome? No, a tome is big. What's like a novella?
A novella.
Is that like 30 pages? I mean,
I
what's
think
the
something
cutoff?
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, like running stairs in Buffalo. There's some good stairs.
There's some good stairs.
Sometimes I even run at the Buffalo News, but you got to do it a lot because it's only five flights.
It's only five flights, yeah. A lot up and down.
But I would recommend the City Hall is not bad.
See, maybe. I didn't know that. Now I'm going to go try that.
Yeah, you can. It's 26. I mean, some of the flights are like small, but the stoops are short, so you can do quick turns and like keep hitting stairs. So it's pretty good. It took, you know, it's about 400 steps all up. And then you go all straight up to the observation deck. And then that's where you can contemplate your life. They do have netting,
like,
though. But,
why did I do this? Yeah.
All right. I do have a hard out because I actually have to go to work.
Well, this has been lovely.
Yeah,
I've enjoyed this.
Nice. It's good. I'm still going to count as diversity in my book. I
there
don't
you
care
go.
What color
you
says.
Can count it as diversity.
It's not a white male. So, this was good. And I will enjoy talking to you. We'll put up your book in case anybody wants to check that out. You don't have any personal blog websites, right, where you just do writing or anything?
AmyMoritz.com.
Oh, and you put up, like, just stuff?
Put up just random stuff.
Now it's going to be all about stained glass.
Now it'll be about stained glass.
All right. All right, now this is also, you've seen me struggle to turn on this podcast. It's also a weird thing to shut off, so don't talk about all the people you hate until I give you the go.